You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
Thank you. Welcome. My name is Jerrica, and I'm a recovery minister here at Citizens. Came on staff a few months ago, and I love it here. I will forever be in recovery, whether or not I do it for work or serve in it or what. I will forever be a recovery girl. And I'm just so glad that all of you are here, whatever brought you here. Honestly, the Lord can work with whatever brought you here. I'm just glad you're here. And at the beginning of the year, I guess a couple of things are happening. We're about to have a new semester of STEPS starting. Who is here and planning on going through STEPS? Awesome. So good. But also, I think it's just kind of natural because of the rhythms that we're used to throughout the year that it's a time where we're kind of taking inventory or maybe thinking back on where we've been, maybe looking ahead to where we're going, maybe, you know, we're kind of done with that because every year we have these plans and, you know, by February, March, it's just, you feel like a failure. So you're like, you know what? I gave up on resolutions. And so that may be you. I don't know. But tonight, we're going to be talking about a picture of redemption, and we are going to be in the book of Exodus. Exodus was my steps. I'm not recommending it as a substitution for steps. I'm just saying I found the book of Exodus to be very practical in a season of my life when I didn't have a steps. And so that's where we're going to be tonight. But I think it's really important to start out with just this simple question that I check in with the Lord with from time to time. And it's just this, where are you? Just where are you? And I'm not making that up. It's actually a question that I first read and was confronted with in reading through the scriptures. And I came to it in Genesis 16:8-9, where the angel of the Lord stops a woman named Hagar on the road as she's fleeing from suffering that she was experiencing. I know nobody knows anything about fleeing from tough situations. None of us are runners, right? But I really identified with that. And at the time of my life that I read that, I had been running for a really long time. And honestly, I was exhausted. And so whenever I read that, it really struck me. And what struck me even more is just the question that the angel of the Lord asked Hagar. And he says, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" And the Message translation, I believe it says, "What are you doing here and how long do you intend on staying here?" And when I read that, I just remember thinking, I knew I wasn't going to be moving forward in the scriptures until I stopped and just had that conversation with the Lord and just got honest. And I know that can be really scary. Honesty can be really scary, but some of us, you know, we're here. Maybe we've been in a recovery ministry before and we're back again and we're here and we think that it's some kind of behavior. It's a person, it's a relationship. So we just need to fix that. And that's kind of what I did. I was just kind of wandering aimlessly, fixing things as they would pop up. It was like I was playing like a game of like whack-a-mole. It's like anxiety pops up, shame pops up, marriage stuff pops up, and trying to, you know, just hit that back down. And I was just tired, and I realized I can't do this anymore. And then I was doing things to even cope with how tired I was. And I just felt like I came to a point where I'm like, something's got to change. And that, along with the desire to be able to be a mom to my kids, created a willingness in me to be open to surrendering all of my life to the Lord, which I had been hesitant to do because it was really scary, and there were a lot of things that I didn't want to be honest about. And so I was using most of my time and resources to do things that would prevent me from having to turn back. and give him those hard things and let him reveal to me my own sin and the hurt that that's caused other people and just the destruction and the ruins it's brought in my own life, but then also the ways that other people's sin has affected me. That's especially when you kind of go years and years and years without doing that at all. Doing it the first time can be really intimidating. But that's the call. That's the invitation from him, is just honesty. Where have we come from and where are we going? And some of us may even be here because we've tried to answer that apart from truth. We've let maybe the world answer that or our friends answer that. And so it's like we have believed something that's not true. We believed a foundation that's like sand and it shifts and then we have to find something else to stand on. But there is a true answer to those questions given to us in the scriptures. And for me, the story of the Israelites, their journey from Egypt to Canaan, specifically the first part of the journey, really helped me identify where I really was in God's story. There are three places that are talked about in those chapters, and it's Egypt, and then it's wilderness, and then it's Canaan. And I'm going to give a little bit of information about each place because my prayer tonight would be that we would have the courage to be honest about where we really are and what brought us here. You know, for Hagar, it's like, I'm running away from something hard. And that was me. And then, you know, you peel back that layer, and then it's like, well, what was that something hard? And it's like, yeah, that's the thing that I've actually wanted to keep buried. That's the thing that I wanted to go the rest of my life without bringing into the light. But there are some things that are listed kind of about each place that I just looked back in my notes when I was in that season. And so I'm basically just sharing with you what he gave me in this secret place in my time with him to help me say, okay, in your story, God, this is actually where I am. And maybe I've been kind of lying to myself or pretending like I'm actually here, but really I'm here. And the truth is, I think I've been here for about 25 years in the same spot. So we're going to talk about Egypt, wilderness, and Canaan. And maybe kind of some of these descriptors will help you identify where you are in your journey with the Lord. And then in knowing, then we can ask him, okay, how do I progress from here? What are you calling me to here? What is your goal for me here? And then I'm just going to share with you some helpful truths that in my reading through the scriptures in Exodus were really helpful in setting expectations of what the journey is going to be like. So quick story on that. I'm the only girl in my family. I have a husband and two sons, basically have three sons. He's out of town, so I can say that. But we love to get our boys outdoors as much as possible. And I remember the first time we were going to go on a hike with them. We were at a family camp in Colorado, and I don't know, the boys were maybe 7 and 9. And there was a guide, and we were just supposed to show up in the morning at 7 or 7:30. And, you know, they said it was going to take a good part of the day. And so just, you know, bring some water. And they're like, we'll bring lunch and just show up. We're like, okay. And we had never done a long hike like that before. In fact, our boys were little, so we hadn't really hiked before at all with them. So we're just telling them, like, we're going to go on this hike. And they're like, okay. And we didn't know a lot of information, so we didn't have a lot of information to tell them. But, you know, when they're kids and you're trying to get them to be excited about something you're excited about, you're talking it up, right? Well, this hike, I don't remember the elevation gain, but it was a significant elevation gain. And we didn't get back till 5:30 p.m. It was more than a 13-mile round-trip hike with a 7, and a 9-year-old. And when I say significant elevation gain, I mean like we were having to stop often. And we ran out of water on the way up. Yeah. And the lunches that the guide brought were, I mean, very inadequate. Like, obviously they didn't get the memo that boys can eat a lot. And so just the disappointment, the anger, it was really bad. I think we're all still recovering from just the complaining and it was a terrible experience. Because we weren't prepared. Like, our expectations weren't reality. We didn't know. And, you know, now whenever we go on a hike, which it took a while to recover, you know, from the trauma, but you know, we do hiking now, and you know what we do? Like, I have a full backpack just with food. Like, just with food. Even if it's just a 3-mile hike, like, it's full of food. We have water attached to hats and belts and hanging on. I mean, we have enough, you know, for probably 3 days, just in case we were to get lost. And you know what we tell our boys? Even if it's like 500 feet elevation, we're like, this is going to be so hard. Like, just get ready. You know, there's going to be probably like rock climbing, and you're going to get really tired. And it's almost like we do as much research as we can, first of all. Even if we've never been on the hike, we're like looking it up, because expectations are key to experience, right? And so if we don't have the right expectations about the journey ahead, then that can be self-inflicted disappointment, right? So unless we let God define what something is and set the expectations for the path that he has before us, for the journey that's ahead, and we just think, oh, it's going to be this, or the world says this, we're really setting ourselves up to be disappointed in that, right? And so it's so important that we go to the Lord and we say, what do you say about this? What's your character? Like, what is it that I can count on in this? And I'm not saying he reveals everything, but I love how much he does reveal, especially in the Old Testament. There's so much narrative that we can glean from and just see what it looked like for you to interact with your people in this. And so that's why I love Exodus so much. And so just think about that as far as expectations. Some of us may even be in the place that we're in because we defined something in a way that God said, actually, that's not how I see that. That's not what that's for. So, for example, marriage. A lot of people would say, oh, marriage is going to, that's to make me happy. Or marriage, that's going to complete me. And we're just setting ourselves up for disappointment in that relationship when it doesn't do that. It doesn't bring us what we expected from it, right? Or even in parenting, I hear this a lot. As long as my child is healthy and happy, and then that doesn't happen in the way that they think it's supposed to happen. And so there's disappointment there, but it's because we've defined that. We've expected something from that God never said. So really important to just check in and say, where am I? Is part of the reason why I am where I am is because I've defined something according to what I wanted that to be, and I've expected something from that you actually are wanting me to get from you. So Egypt was the place that the Israelites' journey started. God's purpose for them in Egypt was deliverance. Deliverance for the purpose of living a life oriented around God. What was the enemy's goal? To keep them there. To keep them in bondage by weighing them down with heavy burdens so their life had no room for hope of anything different. To keep them tethered there. What was, I guess, the stage of spiritual maturity? That would be like infant stage. What's the warning there? So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, okay, you know, what would be some insights from the Israelites? Like if they were here to say, hey, when you're in this stage of the journey, just be aware of this. Watch out for this. Be cautious of this. I think they would say hopelessness, slave mentality, or just the idea that the best that I could hope for is making the best of life in bondage, mere survival, which is where a lot of coping mechanisms start to happen. Things that can hinder progress, bitterness, a hard heart, pride. What are some keys to success? Well, always grace and mercy. The blood of the sacrificial lamb, and a willingness to leave our old way of life behind. They were covered by the blood. They put the blood on the threshold of the door, which protected them and allowed them to leave. But then they actually had to leave, right? They had to leave that familiar place and embark on this unfamiliar. My ESV Study Bible describes the Exodus like this: a definitive salvation event that defined and established the identity of Israel as the people of God. So it's like if you insert your name in that. A definitive salvation event that defined and established the identity of Jericho, of Michael, of Catherine, of Mike, as a child of God. Has this happened for you? Have you gone from death to life through the blood of Jesus shed for you? Do you have a salvation story? It's a definitive event where we are freed from the slavery of sin by the blood of Jesus. In the wilderness. And this is what we will spend some time kind of talking about, just that very beginning part of wilderness. God's purpose was to establish a new way of life, a new orientation and trajectory through instruction, testing, learning, failing, repenting, trusting, and obeying, to give governing patterns for everyday life that reflected that they belonged to him. And these patterns were normative to them, but distinct from all other people groups. This is where God truly becomes your source. And in doing that, other sources are exposed. This is where God begins to deal with habits, mindsets, and attitudes that formed in Egypt in bondage. This is where we release control of our lives to him, and he teaches us to follow him, to listen to his voice, and to trust him. The enemy's goal is to prevent our progress. The stage of spiritual maturity here would be like childhood, like toddlerhood. The warning here, I think, would be just there's initial excitement about not being in Egypt anymore, but it's circumstantial. The second something starts to go wrong, then you're like, oh, I'm going back. Fear, being easily discouraged by lack or opposition. And things that can hinder progress. Fear, being easily discouraged, a longing for things of the past to satisfy and fill, opposition and disobedience, the keys to success, grace and mercy, and to want and desire lasting change, and a willingness to put in the work. Minimize noise, follow his leading. One of the things I love about wilderness, we think of wilderness like, oh, that's so terrible, but listen, the fact that it was desolate was actually kind of a gift to them, I think. Because there weren't like competing, there weren't all these enemies and all these, you know, all this hustle and bustle going on that they had to, you know, decipher, well, what's God's voice and what's not? No, it was the desolation actually helped them follow him, hear him. And so for some of you practically thinking about this, are you willing to take steps to minimize noise in your life for this season? I know when I was in this stage, God called me to make things just as simple as possible, keeping the commitments that I needed to keep. Obviously, I was a wife and a mom, and I had responsibilities, but really just knowing that everything that I was doing, I had made that commitment or entered into that from such brokenness that I needed to just lay it aside for a little while. And if I needed to, if he was calling me back to it, he would call me back to it. So social media was out. That was in my experience in walking with women, social media is one of the enemy's biggest tools, especially in wilderness, to stop us, to distract us, to discourage us. So that was gone. What is he calling you to do if you're in that season? To minimize the noise of your life. And we can't skip this stage. Like, there wasn't an option to skip wilderness. I mean, it was very strategic on God's part. Like, it was Egypt, wilderness, and then Canaan. And so many people, they just want to skip it. They keep trying to skip it. And I think about Jonah when he went the other way and God just, he puts him exactly where he started again after all of the journey that he tried to go on to get away from God. He's like, okay, my instructions haven't changed and I'm putting you exactly where we started the first time. Like, we don't get to skip this part because there are things that he wants to do in this that are really important for us to get to a fruitful life. So Canaan, God's purpose in Canaan was for them to settle in their assigned area, their lot, and to be useful and fruitful. The enemy's goal would be to seduce us away through fear, temptation, and a divided heart. A stage of spiritual maturity, adulthood. Paul talks about, babies need milk and adults need meat. At this point, you're eating meat. A warning would be forgetting the Lord and relying on self to deal with the sin and suffering in this world and things that can hinder us from enduring in a fruitful life. Allegiance to gods of the land, so infidelity, and then just failing to drive out the enemies as God leads. Keys to success, grace and mercy, fidelity to the Lord, obedience and courage. And this isn't, Canaan isn't some sort of arrival where we're like, okay, now we'll just play golf and sit on the beach. This is where we're living out and applying what we learned in wilderness in order to live a useful and a fruitful life. This is where we're looking more and more like Jesus. We're enjoying God, we're loving people, we're being light in a dark world, not without suffering or difficulty, but in the midst of the suffering and difficulty. So, going back to where are you? And just thinking about just the practicality of what was laid forth in the book of Exodus as far as the three stages that they went through in their journey with Egypt, wilderness, and Canaan. Does that help you maybe pinpoint with honesty where you are? And I know the first time I read through this, I realized I was just outside of Egypt, so barely in wilderness, and I just sat down. And I sat there for like 25 years. Well, 20 to 25 years. I was like, I prayed a prayer as a child. Jesus, I believe in you. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I want to spend eternity with you. And it was almost like, well, that's it. Like, that's the end. But what's modeled here is actually that's the beginning. And that's where, with discipleship, and starting to follow him, hear his voice, and trust him and obey him, we can start to live a life of worship. The church I grew up in, and just a lot of the people that I knew growing up, I realized when I read that most of them were also in that place. Like, maybe barely got into wilderness, saw some scary stuff, and were just like, yeah, no, I'm just going to be here. And that's really all I saw. And there wasn't discipleship and growth. And so I was like, well, I guess this is what we do. And maybe if I follow as many rules as I can, then the ride won't be so bumpy. But it's like, all right, pray the prayer, out of there, buckle up, and hope for a smooth ride. So when I read through, I was so grateful that the Lord loved me enough to show me, even though it was hard to see, And thinking back on all those years that I was just stagnant and not going anywhere, like that's hard. But at the same time, thank you, God, that you showed me that. And then he doesn't leave us there. He says, and I've revealed so much about myself, and I'm giving you some expectations according to truth that you can hold on to in the journey ahead. So some of the things that were helpful for me, there were so many. I loved going back in my journal during this time. It was such a sweet time with the Lord where he was just helping me, honestly. He was my mentor, and he discipled me, and just going through, it was like, man, I just want to tell you all of it, but I have like 15 more minutes, so I'm going to pick like three things to share with you that it was like, man, that would have been really helpful to know before. I'm really glad I know it now, but I'm going to pass it along to you. And the first thing that I noticed is the reason for our freedom. Like, why does God set us free? Why did God set them free from Egypt? What was the purpose? In my mind, it's, okay, out of Egypt, now what? Exodus 3:18, Exodus 4:23, Exodus 5:1, Exodus 8:1, Exodus 10:3, pretty much all say the same thing, which I think is cool. And sometimes that's really helpful for me. It's like, okay, God, you said this a lot of times, so I know that it has to be important. And the fact that you said it so many times also tells me that this is probably going to be something the enemy's going to try to distort or compromise. And so I'm going to read through these verses, and you just listen and see if you hear something, kind of a thread throughout. The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And this is Moses and the elders talking. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. Exodus 4:23. And I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me. Exodus 5:1. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Exodus 8:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. Exodus 10:3. Let my people go so that they may serve me. What do you hear in that? A few things. So that, let my people go so that they may what? They may worship me. They may serve me. They may sacrifice to me. So he's very clear about the reason for their freedom, and it's to live a life of worship. The goal is a life oriented around God. And I realized my problem was I had tried to fill in the blank of what's on the other side of that so that for a lot of years. Let my daughter go so that she may be comfortable. Let my son go so that he may be successful. Let my daughter go so that she may be famous. Let my son go so that he can be sober. You know, how do we try to fill in what's on the other side of the so that? Have we tried to answer that differently than what God lays forth in the Word? And the world has all kinds of suggestions and ways to bring meaning to our lives, but God is very specific and consistent in these verses. It's important, and he wants us to know the truth. So even thinking of that, what's your goal in coming? And it's okay if you're going, if you know, you're thinking, man, this relationship's really messed up, or man, I've been really anxious and it's starting to really affect my day-to-day function, or I've been, you know, having a hard time with alcohol or with a substance. Like, that may be what brought you here, and God is saying, listen, the purpose of your freedom is a life oriented around him. And yes, some of those things will be a product of that, but that's not the goal. The word serve in Exodus 10:3, let my people go so that they may serve me. That means to serve, to minister to be devoted to labor for. So what gets you out of bed in the morning? What are you devoted to? If you're being really honest, And if it's something other than the Lord, and we'll talk about this in group tonight, is it because you haven't experienced salvation through Christ, or because something has just become more important? A stronger word for that would be idolatry. So there's a reason why he sets us free. And we actually don't get to fill in the blank with whatever it is we think that should be. He's really specific. Listen, I'm setting you free for a life of worship. The next thing that I'll share that I noticed and was actually really helpful for me is the way God led them. So Exodus 13, 17, and 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of that land equipped for battle. So I know all of us love the roundabout way, the scenic route, you know, that takes a lot longer than what it should be. Nobody ever looks on like Google Maps or anything to be like, is there any way I could save 35 seconds and just go from point A to B as fast as possible? I know we're all scenic route people, and we're like, you know what? We'll just go with the flow, and however we get there, we get there. No, for the most part, we are A to B. Like, we have apps to like help us be efficient and quick, but that's not how God led them. His goal wasn't speed. And the first part of that is just simply that God was leading them. And some of us, maybe that actually is the problem as well, is something or someone else has been leading us. And God's saying, listen, you're going to go out of Egypt, but it's really important. And that's why he gives them the cloud and the fire. Listen, I've got to be the one leading you. Really, really important here. First of all, you don't know where you're going. You've never been this way before. But also, this is a way of life that I've got to start to establish with you. So I have to lead. And so whatever was leading you before, whether it's you, your family, your feelings, a podcast, a book, an author, even a pastor, even a biblical counselor, sorry, Michael, but all of those things have to yield to God's leading, to his voice. All of our journeys are so unique, and he has just so many different things planned for each of us, and it's about us getting to a life oriented around him and about him producing in us the things that he wants to produce and then putting to death the things that need to be put to death. And that is different for all of us. So listen, nobody and nothing else can lead you in that, only him. So whatever was leading you before can't be your guide. Are you willing to give up what you've been following or who you've been following? He gets to say when you encamp and when you set out. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense. And a lot of times we may be called to encamp, like the cloud settles in a place, you're like, man, there's no shade here. This is a really ugly place. Like maybe tomorrow it'll set out. And then a month later you're like, that cloud is still there. I am still here. And then other times they may have come to like an oasis and like, oh, please settle for like 6 months. This is fantastic, right? And then the next day it's gone and it's like, oh, all right, I trust you and I'm going to keep moving. Also, the way he led was the roundabout way. And the route in the wilderness, again, was less about speed and more about building trust. The next thing, and this is the way, whenever I read it, this is just kind of the way that I wrote it down. Sometimes backward is forward. Exodus 14, 1 and 2 says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Haroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Bel Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. So this is the part of the journey where they're on their way and they're creating some distance between themselves and the enemy, but the enemy is in pursuit. And so they're running, and I would imagine they're thinking, all right, like, pretty soon, you know, we'll be home free. And then God says, stop, turn back, unpack, and camp. The word encamp means pitch a tent, so basically unpack there. Like, you're going to be there for a little bit. And I would imagine they're thinking, what? That makes no sense. That's crazy. We're finally on our way. We're leaving there, and you're telling us to stop and turn back and face this enemy that wants to kill us. That would have felt like cruel and certain death, right? He's calling to turn back and face the Egyptians. So that's the part that was extremely difficult for me. Turn back and look at my own sin. Turn back and look at the hurt that caused others. Turn back and look at people who had offended me, sinned against me. Turn back and look at abuse. Turn back and look at rejection. I mean, there was a whole list, right? And it's like, no, we're going to Canaan, and we can just outrun them, right? We can just keep running. And he's like, no, stop, turn back, and unpack. And for those of you who are going through steps, the assessments are going to be a really great little tour guide in my mind. That's kind of how I think of it for that. We'll just take you through whatever it is that continues to chase you down. But sadly, a lot of people, that's where they check out. If they hadn't already checked out, that's where they check out. Because it's scary. So people will spend their whole lives avoiding doing that step right there. But the command to go forward and progress, where he parts the Red Sea, that only came after they were willing to turn back and encamp. And our tendency is just to flee tough situations, to move on and never look back, to keep on running. The problem is, if we don't let the Lord deal with whatever has caused us to be runners, it's just going to keep chasing us down. It's going to lead to a life of denial, avoidance, escaping, and numbing, I heard from a friend. Their perception of what was happening was different than what God was actually doing. And I think that's so key for some of us. What he's calling us to sometimes feels really cruel. It feels like certain death. Like, you're going to have us turn back, and they're going to overtake us. Like, what is that about? It feels like you're just setting us up for failure and destruction here. But that actually isn't what he was doing at all. They felt like they were about to be destroyed, and God was actually trying to destroy the enemy and build trust in them. So important for us to remember, we can't trust just what we're seeing. We can't trust just what we're feeling or just what we're experiencing. We have to look to the Lord and say, okay, this is what this feels like. This is what this looks like. But what is this situation really about? And can you please help me have courage to stand here? People quote the verse all the time, like, stand firm and be still and see the salvation of the Lord. All you have to do is just be still. And that sounds great. But I'm thinking about that would have been the scariest thing ever. That would have been the last thing I wanted to do. I want to run, like, freak out, you know? Exodus 14, 13, and 14, Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. What they thought was certain death was actually part of his plan of salvation for him, for them. So, honesty about where we are Where do you see yourself in each of the places and the stages of their journey? Is there something that you identified with about where you are? And I know the tendency for a lot of us will be to think about other people and where they are and what they need to do. But really, just check in with the Lord. And some of us, we have wilderness stories. And maybe we just need to take some time to get alone with him and thank him for his faithfulness in that place. Thank him for the extensive work that he did on us, and the things that we learned about him in those times, the experience, the history that he built with us in those places. Just be grateful and thankful. It was a tough season for me, but it was such a sweet season. And if I'm being honest, there's a lot of parts of it that I really miss. Like, I really miss just the simplicity of it and the noise being just minimized. And so where are you in that? And what is it that the Lord is calling you to? And is there someone that he's calling you just to be honest with about, like, hey, I've been living like I was here, but actually I'm here. And I don't want to stay here. Is there something about the way in which he works that's maybe even giving you a hunger to get to know him more? Listen, he reveals himself in every page of this book. And that's just a few things. And the way that he worked, you know, for the Israelites, that's not prescriptive, like, okay, this is exactly how he's going to do it. But we can get to know his character. And we can trust that he is good. So in groups tonight, we're going to, we have a few questions. And I would just encourage you, if it's usually a time for you to just bring an update on kind of what's going on, I would encourage you to ask the Lord, like, which one of those questions he's wanting you to answer in a group setting for the purposes of practicing just honesty, being honest with him in front of others, but also accountability and future discipleship, because you have people here who love you and are for you and can help with that. So I'm so glad all of you are here, and I'll pray and we'll be done. God, thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for your word. Thank you for just the endurance and the hope that comes when you teach us and you instruct us, God. Thank you for all the ways that you reveal yourself to us, God, all those stories that we can glean from, Lord, that we do have a firm foundation of truth to stand on. Pray your Holy Spirit speaks to each of us tonight, God, in ways that leads to freedom. I thank you for truth. I thank you that we don't have to guess about what the answers are to the biggest questions of life. Thank you that you don't leave us alone. I thank you for each person here today, and for your provision and your protection and your plan for them. I pray that we are filled with courage and filled with hope and filled with humility tonight, God. We just thank you for how you love us and just how you are in the details of our lives, God. I pray for time in group, that it is fruitful, Lord. Amen.